the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft. Here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
The kids, meaning our daughter, her husband, and their two little girls, the pride of our lives, let me tell you, spent their Mother's Day weekend getting ready for the summer. Oh, Drew sent flowers to his mom, and our Aaron popped in on Mother's Day with her two little girls, which obviously made her mom's day, and mine too, no need to ask. But their weekend was spent installing their brand new house trailer, a few notches up from their old one, at the campground on Round Lake near Killaloe that has been their summer home for 4 years now. Drew spent his boyhood years there with his parents, which was a huge draw for him, and Erin had been to Round Lake many times throughout most of her high school years, visiting her best friend's cottage, so neither had a real argument against Round Lake. One of the greatest joys of a parent is seeing your child grow up to be a solid human being, and in our case, a solid and tremendous mother as well. Our two little granddaughters are gems. But I will also tell you this. A great deal of luck is involved in your child coming out to be someone that makes you prouder than proud can be. The wrong peer group for one, and all bets are put on hold. The right peer group, as in good kids from solid families, and half the battle is won. Anyhow, I am a week late now, and I'm writing this on Mother's Day, and just moments after our daughter popped in with our two granddaughters. So I just couldn't help myself. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. We have Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis, the all-star team at your beck and call, shepherding you through the outdoors. This wonderful Victoria Day long weekend. Yes. I just love hearing myself say that.
Long weekend?
Long weekend. Been a long winter.
Yeah, it has. Ugh.
Good God Almighty. Anyways, it's not winter on the Fish in Canada show. That's what's airing right now on Global Television Network, coast to coast to coast. Canada's most watched fishing program, outdoor program. Hey, wait a minute. It's Canada's most watched television program nationally at 8 a.m. coast to coast.
Very cool.
How do you like that? I love hearing myself say that too, by the way. If you are there right now watching, you will note that Mr. Bowman and myself have traveled to the nation's capital and hit the Ottawa River, but not for the usual prey, quarry, whatever it's called, target. Normally it would be bass. It could be muskie, but not so. We're there in search of a prehistoric-looking creature. It's called the long-nosed gar, an exciting episode. It's the first one we've ever actually filmed and televised of long-nosed gar being caught on the program, and it's kind of an interesting game, if you will. It's more like a hunt in that you're actually searching for the prey. You're looking to see if you can see those critters in the shallow waters, and then attempting to get them to bite. And then once you get them to bite, your chances of successfully landing and releasing that fish are about zero. They're insane. You get them on, and they're ripping line all over the place, jumping all over there. And then just when you think, okay, I got this. Look at me go.
I figured out the trick.
Yeah. They go poof, and out they spit your bait, and you cry. If you want to see grown men cry, check it out right now. It's on Global Television Network, the Fishing Canada show, in search of prehistoric monsters, stalking prehistoric gar on the Fishing Canada show. Of course, if you're listening to us, maybe what's that double tasking thing you always talk
Multitask?
About? Multitask. There you go. Maybe you're not doing both, in which case,
go to www.fishingcanada.com, click on TV. The next broadcast is right there. Or check it out on Global BC Channel at 1 o'clock.
You talk too fast. Didn't get it. Oh. Let me reiterate what Stephen attempted to say. All you have to do is go to fishingcanada.com, baby. That's fishingcanada.com. Check out the TV episode page. Click on it, and it'll give you all kinds of interesting information about the program that you're missing right now because you're listening to this wonderful program on Fan 590.
I speak so fast because sometimes we run over a break, and we have to go to break, and I'm so used to saying it fast now. So.
Just follow me, kid. I'll take you to the promised land. Trust me. One day. I don't know when we're going to get there. That's fishingcanada.com. Of course, when you're there, there's other things you could do. I could think of maybe, we have 10,200 things you can do. Did you know that?
That's a lot of things to do.
on the Fish Canada show. But at the very front of that is a quick little two-minute diversion, and that is entering the fishingcanada.com 9.9 Mercury Marine giveaway.
Yep.
And all you do is push the enter contest button and answer a skill testing question related to the Fish in Canada show. We have the answer posted somewhere there for you as well, and enter a ballot into the box. So go to fishingcanada.com. Just another reason why you need to be there every Saturday morning. Here's a place I want to be every Saturday morning with my good friend, our in-house safety expert. His name is Bradley Schlurf. On this wonderful Victoria Day weekend. Good morning, Brett.
So speaking of butt on, my butt on is on the ground right now, hoping I would see a turkey, but I'm not.
Hey, when are they going to yank you off the field? When are they going to finally say, Schlurf, come in, get off that damn field, the game's over?
That's why he retired.
Well, this particular field here, I'm going to get off as soon as I get off the radio show, because the good host of the farm property here has just gone by me in his tractor about 100 feet away. So
that's
thinking that the morning is finished.
anything at all, if
you
see.
You know, the first time the sun has actually shone supposedly all day, and since when? I left Texas.
That's right, too. That's right. So no sightings at all, huh?
Nothing.
All right.
Geese?
Have you got any? When's it over for you?
It's probably over for me today, because I got to start getting ready for the glorious Shapiro fishing trip.
Oh, yes. Fantastic. And what a wonderful stretch of weather you're going to have, by the way. I looked at the long range. You're in good shape, buddy. Speaking of what?
Weather's not so good, though, because the road's still snowbound.
Well, that's not good. You'll figure it out. You're very resourceful. I know. Victoria Day weekend. Beautiful weekend, certainly here. But I know that your comrades in arms, if you will, the OPP, they're going to be out this weekend for sure. And they're going to be looking for all kinds of things in the high traffic areas. With the volume of traffic we're going to be having, obviously speed, distracted drivers, drivers under the influence. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the first Victoria Day weekend that we will have where you guys are going to have to also look out not just for booze, but cannabis as well?
Well, the police have always looked out for cannabis. It's just a different spin on it now that it's legalized. So there'd be a bit more emphasis on cannabis-impaired drivers. But that just coincidentally is just lumped in with the traditional alcohol-impaired drivers. So really, the looking for them is the same game.
I know that it's not quite clear whether you guys – I know you've sort of vaguely – attempted to tell us about it, but there is an actual cannabis roadside test that you guys can do?
I don't know anything about it. This is one of the joys of being retired. I know that it exists. So I can't give you a letter and verse on it.
Boy, they got you well trained. That's all I got to say. Good for you. So obviously, there's going to be all kinds of things out there. There's going to be trailers being hauled. There's going to be boats being hauled. There's going to be all that stuff. And, it's just a great place. I mean, the long weekend is a wonderful thing, and it's a great place to be out in the road heading north, but it can be very treacherous.
So not to harp on our traditional stuff, but, you know, let's go to the boat thing a little bit. So last night, the mayor of Bracebridge makes a very good point. They've lifted the boating restriction in the Muskoka area now, but there's a whole pile of debris, and the waters are still real high. And one of the problems that people weren't paying attention to, why the restriction came about, is that when you put great effort to dike a property with sandbags and the water as high as it is lapping at the top of them, and then you decide to go by there in your boat throwing a big wash, pushing water over top of that diking system. So, you know, the water's still really high, and there's still a lot of junk floating around. Be careful.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny you say that. A buddy of mine came over to borrow some props. He's got a new boat and a new motor, and he asked if he could borrow some props so he could figure out what blade to put on this big power boat he's got. And I said, well, what's the hurry? I got to get out this weekend. I'm gonna be blasting around Lake Simcoe this weekend. And I'm thinking, man, you know, like, it's one thing going out in a boat this early after the waters have just barely started to, well, I mean, it's still flowing big time in some of the areas. You know, it's one thing just going out boating and putting around, looking around and maybe doing some fishing and stuff. But to go out and speed test your prop, like, I think it's craziness right now. It's just way too early. There's too much stuff floating around, man.
I was listening and thought he was borrowing all these props off because he was planning on wrecking three or four of them.
Well, if he does wreck three or four, that would cost him about $5,000, my friend.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, those nice stainless ones.
Oh, yeah. But anyways, yeah, I just caution anybody doing that this weekend if you're going to go out speeding around lakes. It's just not a really good time to do it. And I know you say, well, I've never seen a floating log. I've never hit a deadhead. I've never hit anything at, you know, top speed. Let me tell you, from somebody who has done that several times, especially Northern Ontario, where you can have logs floating around just under the surface at any time of year, it will take the wind right out of your sails when you hit one of those babies, let me tell you. So just be careful.
It is not a joy, and I've done it lots of times too. Not something to sport about. Like, this is not the weekend to take the people for the first run on the tube or water skiing.
Yeah, that's for sure. Quick question for you. I've seen all kinds of write-ups about it. What's your commentary on the pilot project that's going on regarding higher speed limits on the 400 series highways?
Okay, so it's a two-edged sword. The faster that people are going, the worse the crashes are. So, like, if you get in a crash at 120 versus 100, the results are much worse. However, there's, the other practical side of it is if you're on a 400 series highway, you don't really see an awful lot of people sticking to that 100 kilometers an hour. So, you know, the highways were designed usually at around 20 kilometers an hour over what they're being used at. That's the design speed of them. So it's a two-way thing. Is it maybe just adopting what is practical and what everybody's doing anyway, or do you have to worry about the higher crashes? And the other thing to worry about is that, now the speed limit in the pilots goes to 110. Does that mean that everybody goes 130 instead of 120 with the related risks?
Yeah, I'm kind of on both sides of that fence, to be honest with you. I think we should raise them. Having driven in Europe quite a bit, where they've got roads that have got no speed limits at all, and watching how well the traffic behaves in that environment, you know what? People really learn how to drive in that environment. They know that the right-hand lane is where you need to be if you're not going to be speeding,
yes,
which we don't seem to have a good grasp on in this part of the world, driving certainly in this part of the country.
Even in the United States, where lots of the highways, which are very similar in appearance to the 400 series highways, the speed limits are 75 or even 80 miles an hour, sometimes higher, and you just don't have people blowing right by you all the time. Like it's, here, if you're around 100, 120, every third vehicle is going by and a lot faster than that. It just doesn't seem to be the same in the U.S. Now they're quite a bit stricter and a lot more cops, too, but... those things go together. And the left lane bandits just don't seem to be there either.
No. Anyways, I won't ask you what you're doing for the weekend because I think we got a glimpse into it already. Have yourself an absolutely wonderful one, my friend, and we'll talk to you next Saturday. And, hey, there's turkeys next year, too. Hey, don't forget that. Don't be disappointed.
There's also a brand new lawnmower that I bought yesterday that apparently is going to get an inauguration today.
All right, my friend. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Retired Staff Sergeant with the OPP, Bradley Schlorf, our ODJ Radio in-house safety expert.